have questions from the Bible? Join us on Bible Perspective every Friday at 6 p.m. to 8 p.m. as we search for the answers.
Indeed, every one of those days are we trying our very best every Friday to search for the answers, but not just from human opinions, but from the Bible itself. And today is no different. We're going to be looking at what does the Bible say about the Holy Spirit's language? Is it a language that human beings can speak, a tongue that they can utter? Or is it something perhaps that is only reserved for a few elite who have a special relationship with Him? And so we're going to be finding out from God's Word to say, what is this language that the Holy Spirit is all about? I mean, we gave an earlier reference to say, when you read Romans chapter 8, it says He intercedes on our behalf with groanings and moanings that cannot be uttered. And think, okay, is it because we can't utter because we're human beings? Or is it something else more being said there? So we're going to be finding out that, of course, guiding us in this conversation is my pastor, Mfundisi Maforo, better known as the Scottish Pastor Muruti. Good morning, or good evening, actually. Good evening, and welcome to the Bible Perspective.
Good evening. How are you today?
No, doing all right, Mfundisi. Trusting that we find you well.
Yes, I am. And I wonder why you are apologizing, because to us who believe in the word, there is a good morning indeed, because the holy hours are upon us.
Okay.
And so it is a morning in its own sense. So yes, good morning once again.
I hear you, Mfundisi. I saw that one coming. But thank you so much for assisting there. Pastor, trusting that you've had a good week. I mean, it's been 2 weeks since you were in this hot seat. I'm hoping you had some time to recover and are ready for round two.
Oh, yes, absolutely.
Marvelous stuff.
Confirm with me. Can you hear me clearly? Just confirm if there is no background noise and stuff.
It's some very slight feedback. I think we can survive, Mfundisi. We can survive.
Thank you
so much, Pastor. Pastor, as we begin then our study this evening, I'm just going to ask that you pray and you consecrate our study and our engagement in it to the Lord.
Okay, let us pray. To our kind and loving Father, we commit this study in your hands, and we pray that you minister to us in a special way. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen and amen. Thank you so much for that. Pastor, we are still talking about trying our very best to find the Bible's perspective about the language that the Holy Spirit speaks, especially as we have our scripture. I mean, the scripture for today guiding us is Jude verse 20. But you, beloved, building yourselves up in your most holy faith and praying in the Holy Spirit. Say, okay, is it just the Spirit that we must be in, that we must be connected with God in the Holy Spirit when we pray? Or is it actually the language you must be using when we pray, that we must be praying in the Holy Spirit's language? That's what we're hoping to find. But before we go too deep, Mfundisi, let's just do a slight recap about where we started off last week. We especially touched on the idea of what a tongue is. And if I remember very well, the pastor was showing from scripture that a tongue is just another word at its basic level. Two things, if I'm not mistaken, that the pastor touched on. Number one, a tongue is a body part which is found in the mouth. And if you're using for human beings, it's the one that actually is needed and useful in speaking. So it's then also then derived as a language. So the tongue is a language. What tongue do you speak? I speak this tongue. And you showed some couple of passages from the scripture. I don't know if you want to add to the recap from the last conversation we had, so that we can then touch from there, proceeding into tonight's conversation.
Well, you're absolutely right. We touched on that, though. Of course, towards the end, I made a brief summary because some of our listeners were getting pretty much confused on a few things, mm-hmm. but we were able to give direction and even promise to conclude as we may try today. But just mm-hmm. as a basis and as a foundation that I think everybody else must remember is the simple fact that, number one, a tongue is not, the word tongue is not a foreign thing that falls from heaven, which is given to people, and then they experience a certain glossolalia, which is different from what they speak.
Okay.
But a tongue is something that everybody else uses. And we gave an establishment of the fact that we need to understand the basics of where this comes from. And we read in the book of Mark, where the promise of the gift of speaking in tongues was going to be given. And we gave that promise from the book of Mark. And we saw that Christ himself promised that these signs will follow all those who will believe. And part of those signs was that they will speak in other tongues. And so we picked up that part that says they will speak with other tongues. Yes. And we asked the question, why? What is wrong with their tongue? Why should they speak with other tongues? Okay. See, that's where we need to put line upon line. Because the simple question is, what is wrong with the tongue that these Galileans were speaking?
Yes.
You know?
Mm-hmm.
And the simple straight answer is there was nothing wrong with the tongue except that it had limitations. How so? Because the Bible had said, or rather already says, that the gospel of this gospel of the kingdom must be preached unto the whole world. Then the end will, for a witness, then the end will come. So preaching to the whole world means that they have to preach to everybody, to every nation, to every kindred, to every tongue.
Okay.
And to every people. So when we're now saying every tongue, which means there is more than one tongue, there are many tongues in the world. And therefore, if they're going to preach, they're going to have to preach to every tongue. So everybody else who speaks a different language from them was supposed to hear the good news that Jesus Christ died for them. So to spread that good news, they needed a special gift of other tongues. You see that?
Tongues
so that they may be able to preach to those people so that they can they can hear the good news of salvation.
I like that. I like that. So it becomes necessary to have these other languages for communications purposes, for this purpose, like you're saying, Pastor, of spreading this good news to all the tongues under the heavens. Okay, Mfundisi, we are having comments already starting in from our listeners here. Mfundisi saying we are ready. They are so much ready for you, Pastor. And I don't know, we don't agree. I don't know, you haven't said anything yet, Pastor, but they are already not agreeing. I think some of our listeners here are out of order. But okay, Pastor, let's then jump into this. And by the way, for those who are joining us on the line, you can share your thoughts, your comments, your questions, your views with us this evening. +27 73 470 3520. That's the number that we can get in touch with us on. That's a WhatsApp line. Or you can ring us, call us direct in studio on +27 12 001 7679. That's +27 12 001 7679. As we discuss what the Holy Spirit's language is, and the pastor just laid the basis to what the basic understanding of a tongue is, and also why we needed to have other tongues if you look at what Christ gave in his commission right there. But you see, the Holy Spirit, does he have a particular language? I mean, we gave emphasis or allusion, if you will, earlier on Romans 8:26 on how he intercedes with particular groanings that we can't utter. Is that a language that only Holy Spirit can talk?
All right. Let me be quick to comment on that one. As the simple statement says, that with groanings that cannot be uttered.
Okay. Okay.
So already English will tell you that they cannot be uttered. So the fact that they cannot be uttered, it is limited only to men. We cannot utter what the Spirit is saying.
Okay.
So the Spirit can utter those groanings to the Father, because as we pray, that prayer is transmitted to the Father by the Spirit with groanings that cannot be uttered. So that text on its own is already out from our
access.
Scope. It is already out from the topic that we are talking about. It's a different entity altogether. It's a different teaching altogether, what the groanings of the Spirit are. And there is no need for us to know what they are, because they cannot be uttered. And if they cannot be uttered, then therefore we cannot know what they are. But we are grateful that there are those groanings that cannot be uttered, because the Scripture makes it clear that they are necessary, because the Spirit makes them to the Father. Why? I mean, why is simply because he is praying for us. How he does it is really none of our business. how he utters them is really none of our business. All we are grateful for is that the Holy Spirit prays with groanings that cannot be uttered. There is no scripture that says we also must pray with those groanings that cannot be uttered. No, 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 no. There's no scripture like that. So the Holy Spirit, well, secondly, if you're asking if the Holy Spirit has a language, yes, indeed, the Holy Spirit has a language that he uses. And by communication, the Holy Spirit can communicate with us in our different languages, no matter what language it is.
Oh,
the
okay.
Holy Spirit
you had given
does
me a
communicate
fright,
with us.
Because I was not thinking, if he has a language, then are you saying maybe me, I speak Shona, therefore I am exempted from communicating with the Holy Spirit because he doesn't speak Shona, maybe?
No, no, no. He does have a language that he communicates depending on who he's talking to. If he is talking to you, he will speak to you in the language that you understand. But where I really want us to go with all our listeners is I want us to establish the fact that the reason why this gift was given, because I think if we can agree on that, the reason why the gift was given, it will make clear what then later happens.
We don't want to talk about the gift yet. I want to first establish this tongue idea and then the language basis before we get to the actual spiritual gift later on. Maybe as we are still on that language, Mfundisi, we had given that scripture in the beginning, Jude verse 20, where the counsel from scripture says, pray in the Holy Spirit. We also actually have another one, and this one came from one of our listeners, saying, what is God saying in Ephesians chapter 6, verse 18? And maybe let's add that verse to the gambit of our study this evening, Mfundisi. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 18 says this. I'm going to just read it quickly here. And pray in the Spirit on all occasions, with all kinds of prayers and requests, with this in mind, be alert and always keep on praying for all the saints. So they're wondering, this in the Spirit. Jude says, you are also praying in the Spirit. Here, Paul is also saying, you must be praying in the Spirit. Pastor, what is this praying in the Spirit? We just established that the Holy Spirit has a language which we cannot understand. And it's not even ours to be bothered about. That's fine. But here now, apparently, we must pray in that Spirit. Is that language, or what is the scripture saying here?
Okay. See, this is where I wanted us to have the foundation first, because then it makes sense, all these things that come up front. It's quite unfortunate that, you know, when you comment or when you study the Bible and you touch from the very top, it's like reading one verse and then you run away with that verse. You need to understand the context of the text and what the text is saying to us. But now this is a subject. Praying in the Spirit is a subject which must be understood from its context and not from a simple mere text, because a simple mere text can lead us to not really understand, but it must be line upon line, precept upon precept, there a little and here a little. But maybe briefly, because the text is there, we need to understand that there are two forms of for lack of a better word, two realms that people live in, right? People live in their natural flesh type of lifestyle. There is the flesh.
Okay.
And then there is the Spirit.
Okay.
Okay. Then the Bible then says in John chapter 4 that those who worship God, they worship him in spirit and in truth, for God is Spirit. So before we can establish all these other letters in the alphabet, let's understand that God is Spirit, and those who worship him must worship him in spirit. So which means there is a level that we must get into, which is called the Spirit, that we are able not only to pray, but we must be able to live in every day. Let me explain that. Most people in our vernacular language, to try and simplify this.
Yes,
in our vernacular language, you will hear statements such as in Ndebele, they will say besengene moyeni. You understand? Or in Shona, they will say ndandapinda mumweya.
Yeah.
Right? In I'm trying to find another language, you know,
but
there's that distinction that people give to say, at that level, I was now in the Spirit. You see that?
Okay.
So it then gives us a distinction that when we are doing the things of God, we don't do them by our own power, might, and anything else. But the things of God are discerned by the Spirit, and we do them by the Spirit. So when we pray, you do not pray by your own might nor by your own power. But when you pray in the Spirit.
Okay.
Everything that we do, it is led by the Spirit. There is no level, there is no level where you say, I am going to do, no, I'm doing these things, and then later I will get into the gear of the Spirit, or I will then go into the Spirit. No. When you are now a Christian, you are now a new creature. Behold, the former things have passed. And now you are walking in the Spirit. You're no longer walking in the flesh. You're walking in the Spirit. So you are not limited to a certain time where you are not doing things in the Spirit. But then, or where you are praying, and when you pray, then you say, now my prayer, now I'm praying in the Spirit. And then afterwards, then you say, now I was praying in the flesh. And then later I'm changing. I'm not praying in the Spirit. No, there's no time where you don't pray in the Spirit. You pray in the Spirit always, as the Spirit gives us guidance. When it comes to the gift of speaking in tongues, it's a fruit, it's a gift of the Holy Spirit given for a specific purpose, which has got nothing to do with you when you are in the Spirit and praying in the Spirit. I can pray in English and pray in the Spirit. I can pray in Shona and still pray in the Spirit. I can pray in Zulu, Xhosa, Nyanja, Chewa, and still pray in the Spirit. You understand what I'm saying?
Yes, sir.
It's very much possible. It's not like you get into a certain trance where you are now praying in a certain different language altogether, and which is then referred to as the language of the Spirit.
Ah.
No, it's not like that. You just need to be converted from the flesh, and you are born of the Spirit and water. When you're born of the Spirit and water, like the Bible says in John chapter 3 to Nicodemus, when you're born of the Spirit, you are now of the Spirit. Mm-hmm, so when you pray, you pray of the Spirit. And everything that you do, Ephesians now comes in. Jude now comes in.
Yes.
Friends, everything that we do, we must do it in the spirit.
I like that.
I hope that makes sense.
Perfectly. So I'm reminded, Mfundisi, Romans 8, 1 and 2. Therefore, there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus, because through Christ Jesus, the law of the Spirit of life set them free from the law of sin and death. I'm hearing that we are now Spirit children, those that are called by the Spirit. And so every moment, and in fact, we had a question that had come from the listener, but I think you've already addressed it. The question was saying, I wonder if Jesus was praying in the Spirit, or maybe the Bible doesn't say so. But if you're saying the moment you are given to Christ, you give your life to Jehovah, and you are now a child of the Holy Spirit, you are always, when you're praying, in the Spirit. I don't know, Mfundisi, am I jumping the gun here? Or is that what you're saying?
Yes, you are very right.
Ah.
That's exactly what I'm saying. There is never a moment when you are not in the Spirit. It's either you are of the Spirit or nothing at all.
So we don't need a verse that will say Jesus now prayed in the Spirit on this day, because all his prayers are being found in the Spirit.
Anything that has got to do, remember I said, the Bible says in John chapter 4, it says those who worship him will worship him in spirit. So prayer becomes part of worship. So there's no way you can pray and that prayer is not in the Spirit, and wait for a certain time when you are in the Spirit then to pray. Prayer is part of worship. So those who worship him, you worship him in spirit and in truth. So there is never a time when we are not in the Spirit.
Amen, amen, amen. We have a message here coming through from Amanda, Hans and Amanda. Pastor is explaining very nicely, enjoying listening. Okay, thank you, Amanda, all the way from England. They're joining us on IEWR. Funisi, thank you for that. And I think it lays a beautiful base for then where we can take off. You wanted to touch on this gift of tongues. The Bible, maybe let's read the verse. When you read 1 Corinthians, we are in the passage where Paul is speaking about the different spiritual gifts, chapter 12. In verse 10 in particular, this is what he says. maybe just for reference and context, it says, now to each in verse 7, now to each one the manifestation of the Spirit is given for the common good. And then he then in verse 8 says he gives different gifts. To one, there is given through the Spirit the message of wisdom and so forth. And then in verse 10, he says, to another, miraculous power. To another, the gift of prophecy. To another, the distinguishing of spirits. And then to another, speaking in different kinds of tongues. And to another, the interpretation of tongues. What is this spiritual gift of tongues now, Mfundisi? And I know you had kind of alluded already when you spoke of Mark chapter 16, they will speak in different tongues. Is this what it's about? And maybe speak a bit more on this one and lay the base about this gift of tongues. It's a bit of a problematic one. So please, Jula Mfundisi, so that we understand clearly.
Okay. Mark chapter 16, verse 17 gives us the very first. You see, when you want to understand something, mm-hmm. you must go to when first it was mentioned.
Okay.
Right?
Okay.
And here we have got Mark chapter 16 and Jesus is speaking. And he is saying in verse 17, and these, maybe let me read from verse 16. It says, he that believes and is baptized. Watch. He that believes okay. and okay. is baptized mm-hmm. shall be saved. But he that believes not shall be condemned. Verse 17. And these signs shall follow them that believe. In my name shall they cast out demons. They shall speak with new tongues. Mm-hmm. They shall take up serpents. And if they drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them. Mm-hmm. They shall lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. Now listen, the Bible says in verse 17, they shall speak with new tongues.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
And we had said the question is very simple. Why should they speak with new tongues? What is wrong with the tongue
with
the old, that they
the
have?
Original tongue, yeah.
That they need a new tongue.
Mm-hmm.
I'll give you a very simple example, my friend. When you go to China, to when you get a scholarship to study in China, when you get there, or Russia, when okay. you get there, the very first thing in your first modules, before you can study anything further, they include their language.
Hmm. Okay.
So you must be able to speak the Russian tongue in order for you to study and be fully accomplished in the studies of Russia.
Mm-hmm,
so
mm-hmm.
why is it, what's wrong with your tongue that you need a new tongue? It's very simple. Now you're going to be interacting with people that speak the this Russian language.
Okay.
So because they are now speaking a Russian language, so you need to be acquainted with that particular language so that you can be able to minister to them. I mean, so that you can be able to study with them
mm-hmm.
and be able to understand what they are teaching you and relate with the people. So now the Russian tongue becomes critical for your skill.
Yeah.
You see that? So in other places, for example, in Canada, they will tell you that if you're going to get a job in Canada, if you're from Africa, it is best if you can speak English and French.
Yeah. Okay. Okay.
It's an added advantage. Why is this important? It's simply because you are now dealing with people that speak that specific language. Let's come back to the Bible. The Bible says that Jesus says that you are going to speak with a new tongue.
Mm-hmm.
Why were they supposed to speak with a new tongue? And the answer, we got it from Acts chapter 1, verse 8. And Acts chapter 1, verse 8, God had promised them that they were going to be his witnesses in the whole world.
Yeah.
If you read Acts chapter 1, verse 8, the Bible says, and I'm just going to go there quickly. If you can read it, please go okay. ahead.
Verse 8 says, but you will receive mm-hmm. power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth.
Right. So now they're being given a mandate. They're being given a commission. And that great commission is so that they can go and be witnesses. Now, what does a witness do? A witness testifies.
Yes, sir.
You when you're testifying, you don't testify in silence. That means you have to utter, you have to speak. So when we are testifying about the good news of Jesus Christ who died for us, these people were humble Galileans who were uneducated fishermen and carpenters who had no much education. But God said, wait, because you are incapacitated. Wait for me in Jerusalem. Mm-hmm. For he says, tarry ye in Jerusalem. And then he says, but ye shall receive power after the Holy Spirit has come upon you. So the Holy Spirit is going to come upon these disciples, and then they will receive power.
Okay.
Are you with
okay.
me? When they receive power, then they will go and testify after they receive power. So now, if they're going to receive power, we have to look into the Bible. When was it that the Holy Spirit came upon them and they received
this
something?
Power.
Yeah. Or they receive this power
yeah.
so that they can testify,
mm-hmm.
right? And so the Bible then says that it was then that they were supposed to go and testify in Jerusalem. They've got no problem with Jerusalem because they are Galileans in Jerusalem. But then they said in Judea, well, yeah, they could mm-hmm. still understand mm-hmm. because Judea is somewhere closer to Jerusalem. They could still understand Galilean. Samaria, the Samarians now, they were a bit
tricky.
Of both.
Yeah.
You know, they were a bit half, you know, Jewish and then half something else.
Yeah.
So their language might have been affected there. And then, and unto the uttermost part of the earth. Now that becomes crazy.
Yeah, totally.
Because what
problem,
it means
yeah.
now, they are supposed to go to Phrygia. They are supposed to go to Rome. They're supposed to go to Pamphylia. They're supposed to go to Nubia. They're supposed to go to Ethiopia. They're supposed to go to India. Now they're supposed to go to every place now and declare the goodness of God. How do they do that if they are not able to communicate with them? Like the Russian example,
yeah.
Christ must give them a gift in evangelism 101.
Mm-hmm. And one of the modules must be the language.
Yes, the module now, they are supposed to have the gift of speaking with other tongues. Now, what is the purpose? The purpose of speaking in tongues is so that they can preach to other people that are not of Jerusalem. What does Christ say? Christ says, I have my other sheep that are not in this fold. And these sheep, they must hear my voice. That's what Jesus says. They must hear my voice. But then Romans ask a very interesting question about those who are supposed to hear the voice of God.
Okay.
Romans ask a very interesting question. And that question is saying to those who are going to hear the voice of God, he says to them, but how are they going to hear when no one has said anything to them? And I'll paraphrase
okay,
it.
Okay.
And he says, how are they supposed to hear unless, okay, maybe let's read it. Romans chapter 10, I think it should be in verse
from 13.
From
okay.
verse 13.
13.
Let's start from verse 18.
Okay.
It says, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved.
Yes, sir.
Whosoever, that means every language, right?
Okay. Yes.
How everybody. Then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed?
Mm.
Verse 14. And how shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Can you see that?
Yeah.
And how shall they hear without a preacher? So what's the crisis?
No one is there to give them
and
the
how
word.
Shall they yeah. preach except they be sent?
Mm.
So what's the crisis? The crisis is that we need a preacher.
Yeah. Someone sent to us.
The world's greatest need at this point, think in the mind of AD 31. Don't think in the mind of 2024. Think in the mind of AD 31. In AD 31, the world's crisis, they needed a preacher. They needed
yeah.
people that were going to preach because the gospel is still only encrypted to the Jews or to the Galileans. The disciples are the only ones that have the good news. So they have a task to spread this good news to the rest of the world. But how will the world hear except they have a preacher? Right? And so now here is a crisis. Verse 15. And how shall they preach except they be sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace and
Amen.
Bring glad tidings
Amen.
Of good things. In verse 16, then it says, but they have not all obeyed the gospel, for Isaiah said, Lord, who has believed our report?
Mm-hmm.
So then faith comes. Now, I love this. I feel like preaching already.
Yes, sir.
Verse 17.
We are starting today. We're not preaching.
So then faith comes by what?
By hearing.
By hearing.
No,
I don't know where we are missing this.
Mm.
Faith comes by hearing, which means a lost soul who is in Mogadishu, a lost soul who is in Kinshasa, a lost soul in Lusaka, a lost soul in Kenya, a lost soul in England, whichever place this lost soul is, that soul, in order for that soul to have faith, that soul must hear. Not just hear, but must understand. They must hear. Because the Bible says in 17, so then faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. But then this word of God is only to the Galileans. How are they going to hear the word of God?
When it's in Galilean,
So they need a preacher, but the preacher we have is a Galilean. The preacher men that we have are all Galileans. So what do we do now? God must give them a gift so that they can preach the word in a language that the lost soul in Kenya or Ethiopia must be able to understand.
Yes, sir.
So we have got souls from all over the world now. And these souls all over the world, they speak different languages. So they need to hear the gospel, because the promise is the gospel must be preached unto all the world for a witness. Then the end will come. Amen. So all these souls are supposed to hear the word of God. That's where it starts from.
It's
got nothing to do with prayer. That's why Ephesians then will confuse you when you are saying you must pray in the spirit. It will confuse you because you are thinking that the speaking in tongues is only for prayer. Yet the Bible says this gift is not for prayer. Because you can still pray in your language and God hears you. God does not need another language for him to hear you. Now, I know people say, if I pray in tongues, the devil doesn't understand what I'm saying. Excuse me, I've got a question for you. Before we go any further, it is true that the devil does not understand when you pray in the heavenly language, which you claim is the speaking in tongues, my question is very simple. Mm-hmm. And that simple question is, Nigeria, let me use that example. If you are from Nigeria, I don't know what languages the Nigerians speak, but they speak different languages there in Nigeria. If you are from Nigeria and then you meet up with a person from Eastern Cape.
Okay.
Down here in South Africa, from Eastern Cape. And let's say that person speaks Afrikaans.
All right.
Now, if the Nigerian goes back, let's say that Nigerian brother meets up with a sister, they are in love, they go back to Nigeria. When they get back to Nigeria and they want to hear some Afrikaans, who will speak better Afrikaans, the Nigerian brother or the sister who was born and bred in the Eastern Cape, who is literally African?
No, obviously the one who's from the Eastern Cape.
You will better hear from the one who is from the Eastern Cape. Maybe the Nigerian story is too much for us. Let's talk about those who are from Lusaka. If you speak Tonga from the southern part of Zambia, and then we bring you in into the studio right now, here in Irene, and then we say, we want to hear some Tonga. Will you listen to me who brought this brother from southern part of Zambia, or you will want to hear from the brother who literally was born in the southern part of Zambia, whose mother tongue is Tonga? Who will speak better Tonga, me or you?
No,
the one who was born in the southern part. I'm putting a point. Point is, between listen to this. My point is, between me and the devil, who was born in heaven,
who has a better access to heavenly languages? Yeah, definitely
who
the one from heaven. But Mfundisi, maybe the language is updated. You know, language is dynamic. We have now AMA 2000 telling us about these new things that we don't understand in the millennials and those coming from yesteryear.
Well, thank God we're not dealing with the 2000s here.
It's okay.
Thank God for that. Because here we're talking of a heavenly language.
Maybe it's updated. Like, the devil doesn't know the new lingo now in heaven.
And says who? The devil knows our great-grandfather from 100 years ago. And he has been dealing with our great-grandfathers before we were ever born. And the Bible says somewhere in Scripture, Job chapter 1, verse 6, chapter 2, Job verse 6, it says, Job, he met up with God. What language do they speak?
Yeah, yeah. Yeah.
When the devil was speaking with God, what language was that? So you can't say that when you speak in a heavenly language, the devil can't understand, because the devil can better teach you the heavenly language. I'm not defending him. God forbid. He speaks to God verbatim, audio to audio, different from you. You speak to God through the Holy Spirit and by faith. The devil doesn't need that. He can speak directly. He spoke with him directly. He was the covering cherub. He fell down. He was third, if not fourth in command, if I would put it that way. You know, he was the second guy from God. He was the second guy. And so there was no one else. So you can't say I can pray in a language and the devil doesn't understand, because he gets shocked as well and say, what language is that? Because I remember when I was in heaven, we never spoke that
language. This is not what we were doing.
Yes. Yeah. So there is nothing like when you pray in a certain language, the devil doesn't understand. That doesn't work. So then what is the crux of the matter? What is it here? What's going on here? The gift of speaking in tongues was given, or is given, for the simple mere purposes of preaching the word of God and nothing else. There's not any other reason, but it is so that we can preach the word of God. That is the purpose of the gift of tongues. Can I go further?
I know. Maybe pause there, Mfundisi. Pause there. If you just joined us, you're through to the Adventist World Radio SID Media. This is the Bible Perspective, and our topic today, that which we were looking to get the Bible's perspective on, is the Holy Spirit's language. And we are covering this idea of tongues to say, what is God actually saying? What does the Bible say about this? And of course, we're having Mfundisi Wethu, Pastor Maforo, taking us through. The Scottish pastor is trying to elaborate and elucidate us in the matters of what the Bible is bringing across. If you want to share your thoughts, your comments, +27 73 470 3520. That's a number that you can get in touch with us on, or you can find us as well on our studio line, that is +27 12 001 76 779. Mfundisi, we've got a couple of questions here that we want to share before we then take a break in a few. Maybe let me start with mine before I entertain the questions from the listener.
And
thank you for the base, by the way, and what you've spoken about, and how the Holy Spirit is bringing across in terms of why the gift of tongues. In fact, maybe let me touch on this one listener's comment on why the gift of tongues is. She says, yeah, this is Linda, saying, I love how he's mapping the idea of the very reason for tongues, right? Why are they given? It's not an ability causeless. Right? So Mfundisi, you've covered it, and you might as well close the Bible and let's call it a day. Turn off the pastor's mic, she says. He's done. it's jumping out to speak to any gift, in actual fact. She's saying you can actually utilize this principle you're bringing across to apply to any gift that God gives us. We have to map out the very reason and use them relevantly to the cause for which he gave them to us. Otherwise, we are abusing the gift. Mfundisi, the question I was having is, you brought out Mark chapter 16. Mm-hmm. And in Mark chapter 16, it's basically the Great Commission, right? As we are having it in Matthew 28. Now, when you look at Matthew 28, the go ye therefore is not for certain individuals. It's not the clergymen like yourself, Mfundisi, who must go out and preach the gospel. It's for everybody who calls themselves a Christian. And I would think then, isn't that which is happening here? Christ speaking from verse 17 going down to say, in my name they will do these things. Even the speaking of tongues, is it now particular individuals that are speaking in tongues, or them that must go out and preach the gospel need to speak in tongues?
Okay, that's where we're going now. Because we need to address the question of Corinthians, or First Corinthians.
Okay, then if that's where we're going, can you then pause my question and Mfundisi? Let's add one more question that we came out, another comment that came out before we then come and address the next point. We have another listener here saying, valid point there about Lucifer. I love it. These are the ones who started off by saying they don't agree, Mfundisi. But we are here to show you. But now they are saying, I love the points that the pastor is doing. They are in agreement with you, Mfundisi. Mfundisi, maybe let's then go over into that second part. And you want to touch the idea of Corinthians. And maybe as you do this, let's look at, because the way you present it, Mfundisi, it gives an impression that there is only one kind of tongue, the tongue that is there to witness. But I want us to note the different tongues, and maybe let's read the verses, Mfundisi, and then you can then come back and give us the lesson behind that. Acts chapter 2, verse 4, right? When you go to that passage, we've got the first, we spoke of the first mention coming from Mark, but when we actually now see this realization of the speaking of different tongues is in Acts chapter 2, and verse 4 says this: all of them, this is the upper room experience, were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit enabled them. This is what the Bible says, right? And that's the one reference that's there. Then we have Corinthians, Mfundisi. 1 Corinthians chapter 13. When you read verse 1, it then says, this is that beautiful passage on love. And now I will show you the more excellent way, says Paul. Then he says, if I speak in the tongues of men and of angels, but I have not love, I am nothing but a sounding cymbal and a resounding gong. Now, Paul is now saying, no, there's languages for human beings, but there's also languages for heavenly angels. It's now taking the realm a bit away from the earthly realm to say there's earthly languages, which is kind of the essence we get from Acts chapter 2. There's earthly languages. Now there's heavenly languages. That's Corinthians chapter, 1 Corinthians chapter 13. Then comes verse 2 of the next chapter 14, and Pastor alluded a bit to this, but I think it's good that we kind of touch a bit more on this now. In verse 2, he says, this is Paul still speaking to the Corinthian church, for anyone who speaks in a tongue does not speak to man but to God. Indeed, no one understands him. He utters mysteries with his spirit. Now, it's almost like Paul is speaking, saying there's an additional third language. So we have the language of people. We have the language of angels. And then we have the conversation, which has got nothing to do with witnessing. There is no one needing to be revived and converted and born again based on what I'm saying. This is my communication with God. Mfundisi, help us understand. I don't know if there are any other, maybe that I'm missing, different tongues that are being mentioned. But these three is what I picked up. Talk to us, Mfundisi. What's God trying to say to us in his word here?
Right. First of all, let me ask our listeners, for the purposes of the next few minutes, I'm praying, God, that you have a spirit of learnership and to unlearn what you have learned before. I want the Bible to school you. I don't want you to hold on to the previous conceptions. I don't want to call them misconceptions, but I want to call them conceptions. Just put them aside a little and allow the Holy Spirit to minister to you from the Word of God itself. Do not approach the next few minutes with a preconceived idea. I want you to be welcome to what the Bible can teach, and I need you to soften your heart.
Yes, sir.
Okay? Right. So let's go to... Let me answer the one in Corinthians.
Okay.
Before you can, let me just be quick to say that verse does not apply to what we're talking about.
Which one?
People use the one in Corinthians, Corinthians 13, 1 Corinthians 13.
Verse 1.
The chapter
okay.
of love.
Okay, okay.
It's got nothing to do with this. It does not, I'm working the equation now, so I'm canceling a few things. And here I am canceling 1 Corinthians chapter 13 in this manner. I'm canceling it because 1 Corinthians chapter 13 is not dealing with the gift in itself, or rather in the language, or stating that the language exists.
Okay.
1 Corinthians chapter 13 simply uses principles of language, which is a... what do you call this in our, these are cliches or phrases of expression. Okay. For example, when he says, though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels and have no love, I am becoming a sounding brass. Mm-hmm. The emphasis that text is the subject is not the language. The subject is love. And Paul is simply saying, though I can do anything, if I don't have love, it's like me saying, It's like me saying that, I don't know if you've heard this statement before. It's like me saying, if Derek goes to heaven, I will go to heaven through a bicycle.
It's not saying that people bicycle. Going go by bicycles.
It does not mean that there is a bicycle that can take me to heaven. Okay. It's a simple statement of expression.
Okay.
You know, if I say, if Derek goes to heaven, if you make it to heaven, then I will walk in through reverse. It does not mean when we go to heaven. So we can't pick that and use it to build a doctrine.
Of manners people go to heaven in. Okay, okay.
Yes, we can't use that. So it's the same thing here in chapter 13. You can't use that to build a doctrine. He is not stating that there is a language of angels. He's expressing himself. So that text does not fit in our subject of study.
All right,
I don't know if you get what I'm saying.
I hear you.
The text is not... it does not speak of this subject. It is addressing that love is more important than anything else. So Paul says, even if I can speak in the language of angels, he's using angels as an extreme point, most excellent, and man as an extreme point, most lower. But he's saying both the lower end and the extreme high end, if I don't have love, I am nothing.
I'm useless. Okay. Okay.
So that verse, we were going to set it aside on here.
Right.
It doesn't apply.
Now, people are not too impressed, but okay, Mfundisi, I'll let you to continue.
Okay. Chapter 14, verse 2, needs the basis of Acts chapter 1 and chapter 2 to explain it. Remember, don't throw away the formula.
Yeah.
The purpose of speaking in tongues is so that they can preach.
Yes.
Not so that they can pray.
Okay. Okay.
So I'm making a statement now. The speaking in tongues, the gift was initially not given for prayer. It was given for preaching, not for prayer. And I've got a scripture to prove in Corinthians 14 right there. But before we get there, let me read this very quickly. Now, remember, the gift is given. God says, I will give you a gift. I will give you power. I will enable you, right? Because a gift comes to enable.
Mm-hmm.
Power comes to enable so that you are able to do something that you were not able to do previously.
Yeah.
And so here, they are Galileans that cannot speak any other language. In fact, they used to stammer in their own language.
Mm.
So they needed now a new gift. So God is a case of God using the weakest to do the greatest. Right? And so here in this case, 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 15, when they came back from the Mount of Ascension, when they came back, they went into the upper room and they waited there because Christ had told them to wait in Jerusalem until they receive power, until they receive the Holy Spirit. And so if power was going to come, power was going to come to them while they were in Jerusalem. So they waited there and they were praying. Jesus ascends to heaven on the 40th day after resurrection. On the 40th day, Christ ascends to heaven. And when he ascends, there are 10 days that are remaining into the Feast of Pentecost or the Feast of Weeks.
Yes.
Because according to Leviticus 23, yes, they were supposed to then, I need to confirm that one. I'm sorry, I'm so much of a perfectionist. I don't want to mince my words.
Okay.
According to the Sabbaths or the Jewish feasts that were given to the children of Israel, they were supposed to count 7 weeks after the feast of the first fruits. The first feast was the feast of the Passover, when Christ died. The second feast was the feast of the unleavened bread, which was following the very following day. And then on the third day, when Christ resurrected, it was during the feast of the first fruits. For Christ is the first fruits. Yes, I'm right. So in Leviticus chapter 23, they are told about the Feast of Weeks from verse 15. We don't have to read it. You can use it as a reference.
Okay.
They are told to count 7 weeks or 7 Sabbaths shall be completed.
Mm-hmm.
And then in verse 16, it then says, even unto the day after the Sabbath, the seventh Sabbath, which is 49 days. So you're supposed to count a day after 49 days, add another day. According to Leviticus 23, verse 16, they were supposed to add another day. Then they will commemorate or they will celebrate the Feast of Weeks to make the complete days to be 50.
Mm-hmm.
Now, if In the language of shapes, you have got mono, bi, tri, quad, then penta, right? So penta is any shape that has got five sides. It's okay. Called a pentagon, right? Mm-hmm. It's a pentagon. Now, the Feast of Pentecost was a feast of 50 days.
Okay.
Let's understand that. If anyone says, I am Pentecostal, they need to understand what they mean by that word. Because Pentecost was a feast of 50 days.
Okay.
It was a feast of counting seven Sabbaths.
And adding a day to then make it 50.
Okay. Very following day on that. Then the Feast of Pentecost would then be celebrated.
Okay.
So now, what was happening? Please follow me closely. So what was happening is now, Christ has gone to heaven on the 40th day. There are 10 days remaining until the Feast of Pentecost. Christ says you must pray. And in their prayer, they prayed and they replaced one more disciple, Judas. They replaced him with one more disciple. That was Matthias, so that they can be 12 disciples because Judas had committed suicide. Follow with me. Because of that, on that particular day, on the 50th day, these guys were already in the upper room for 10 days. And the Bible tells us how many they were while they were in the upper room in Acts chapter 1. And it says in verse 15, in Acts chapter 1, and in those days, Peter stood up in the midst of the disciples and said, what does it say? Can you continue? Are you there?
This is on verse which one?
Verse 15, Acts chapter 1, verse 15.
Okay, Acts chapter 1.
Verse 15.
Mm-hmm.
And in those days, Peter stood up in the middle of the disciples. And what did he say? Continue.
Brothers, the scripture had to be fulfilled.
No. I want you to read verse 15.
Acts chapter 1, Mfundis. That's where I am.
Acts chapter 1, verse 15. No, you're in 16. Verse 15.
Oh, okay, verse 15. All right. In those days, stood in the midst of the believers, a group numbering about 120.
There we go. So they were 120 in the upper room.
Mm-hmm.
And I said last time when we were together here that according to Daniel chapter 6, verse 1, Daniel, the Darius divided the then known world into 120 provinces, according to Daniel chapter 6, verse 1.
Okay.
The then known world was divided into 120 provinces. This was the Babylonian reign. Now remember, according to Daniel chapter 2, Babylon is still the same. It just changes faces.
Okay.
The head of gold, chest and arms of silver, belly and thighs of brass, legs of iron, feet partly iron and partly clay. It was the same system.
Kingdom. Yeah.
It was the same place, the same kingdom.
Okay.
And it was divided into 120. And by the time of Christ, when he ascended, Rome was the superpower.
Mm-hmm.
It was the kingdom of the iron.
Mm-hmm.
And if Rome was the superpower, it was the superpower of the same realm, the same region, the same place.
Mm.
And they were divided into 120 different provinces, which means they spoke 120 official languages. Now, remember, the gift that is given is so that they can preach to the whole world. And by that time, the then known world was divided into 120 languages. So it needed 120 disciples to have a gift of tongues so that they can preach to the whole world. So now, when you now read Acts chapter 2, verse 5, what does it say in chapter 2, verse 5? There, when the gift happened, what happened? Verse 5?
Now they were staying in Jerusalem, God-fearing Jews from every nation under heaven.
Listen to that.
Mm-hmm.
From every nation under heaven.
Mm-hmm.
That means during this Feast of Pentecost, it attracted, because Jews always went to Jerusalem whenever there was a high Sabbath.
Yes.
So they came from the diaspora, Jews who were born in the diaspora. By diaspora, we mean Jews that were born outside of their own native country.
Okay.
Who were in other countries or in other places. So they came, all of them, from every nation under heaven. These were Jews who were representing all the worlds that, I mean, rather not worlds, all the nations under heaven. They were there in Jerusalem.
Mm-hmm.
So
mm-hmm.
when the Holy Spirit came now in chapter 2, Acts chapter 2, verse 2, it says, and suddenly there came a sound from heaven.
Yeah.
and of a rushing mighty wind, mm-hmm. and it filled all the house where they were sitting. And there appeared unto them separate tongues like as of fire,
yeah.
and it set upon each of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak with the other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance.
Yeah. Yeah.
Verse 5, and they were dwelling at Jerusalem, Jews, devout men out of every nation under heaven. What do they say? Verse 6, now when this was sounded abroad to the multitude, abroad, the multitude came together and they were confused because every man did what?
Hear them.
Heard them speak in his own language. Mm. So, and what do they say? And they were all amazed and marveled, saying one to another, behold, are not all these who speak Galilean? Mm. Now, that text is not for decoration. Mm. The reason why they specify that are these not that speak Galilean is because it's impossible for a Galilean to speak another language.
Mm. Mm.
You see that? And then it says in verse 8, and how then do we hear them? Every man in our own tongue.
Native tongue.
There is
the
word.
Yeah.
That thing is not from heaven. They are hearing them in their own tongue. Now, let's do simple English there. And what does your version say? Verse 8.
Verse 8 says, then how is it that each of us hears them in his own native language?
You see that? Your version, which version is that?
That's the NIV.
The NIV substituted the word tongue for language.
Yeah.
Do you see how these words are interchangeably?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So the very first people to speak in other tongues, they speak in a native language that people understood.
Mm.
I want that to be clear.
Yes,
my good elder. I want it to be clear,
nice and clear
that the very first time when the gift was given to the disciples, those who heard them speak in tongues, they heard them speak in languages.
That they already knew themselves, yeah.
Languages that they already knew because they were born in those particular native countries and they spoke those languages from birth, though they were Jews. And what confused them was then, how is it that these men are preaching in a language? See, when they're speaking in tongues, they're not speaking so that God can hear.
Mm-hmm. It's for human beings.
Now we're going to go to Corinthians. Can you see how we're laying it up? They are not speaking so that God can hear. They are speaking so that human beings can hear.
Yeah, this one is
why?
Clear. Mm-hmm.
Because here you say this one is clear. Because here, on this one here, the purpose of speaking in tongues is for preaching. That's why at the end of these men speaking in tongues, the Bible says that, it says that, and how hear we every man in verse 8, and how hear we every man in our own tongue in which we were born? In verse 9, Parthians, Medes, Elamites, and they explain Pamphylians, verse 10, Cretans and Arabians, verse 11, and they were all, verse 12, and they were all amazed and were in doubt, saying one another, what means these others mocking, see, these men are full of new one. Then Peter, standing up with the 11, lifted up his voice. So Peter had to raise his voice above everyone else. Let me explain what's happening here. When they got to Jerusalem, these Jews, they were speaking the language that was spoken by the Jews, though they had their own languages. It's like me being Shona, and then I come to South Africa and I speak Zulu with the rest of the guys in KZN, and we are speaking Zulu because it's the appreciated language of that time.
Yeah.
But that does not remove the fact that I'm Shona. When I hear someone next to me now speaking in Shona, then the confusion comes in to say, but how come this one is now speaking in the language wherein I was born?
And I know he is Zulu.
You understand? But I know this man is Zulu. He does not know how to speak Shona. How come he's speaking perfectly the language that I am born?
Mfundisi, maybe
the purpose was so that...
Uh-huh.
Yes?
I wanted to just say, Mfundisi, as you are still there, there's a question of clarity. Before you then continue to move on.
Yes.
Utualana, are we saying that the ones that heard them here in Acts chapter 2 were not speaking the same language? Was this a meeting place of some sort where these people are now saying, wait a minute, why are you speaking my home language? Are they not already Jews in Jerusalem?
Okay, remember the day.
Yes.
This day is the day of Pentecost. So Jews have come all over from their place, from their countries, to have a great camp meeting, for lack of a better word.
Okay.
They have come here to celebrate a great high Sabbath in the place where the temple was. So Jews will always come to where the temple was. So, but they were coming from different countries. So when they met there for the purposes of celebrating the Feast of Weeks or the Feast of Pentecost.
Yes, sir.
Now, while they were there in the morning, when nothing else was taking place, because worship had been done at sunrise in the morning, and they were waiting for the evening worship service. But it was around 9 in the morning when everyone is minding their own business, that those who were in the upper room, they received the Holy Spirit. The place where they were was shaken. There was a great wind, and everybody felt what was happening. When they heard the noise, they all came to that place where the noise was. Just like when there's an accident, people run everywhere to come to where the accident is. So they came all to where the noise had happened. When they got there, they discovered that the Galileans that they knew from yesterday, mere disciples, 120 of them were all preaching. And when they were preaching in a language that they were born in a language that they could understand. Yet the Galileans themselves had never been there. For example, there were guys who were from Egypt in verse 10.
Yeah.
There were guys who were from Egypt, which means they had one of the disciples speaking in the Egyptian language. And those who were from Egypt were confused because they could hear what this guy was saying, yet he had never been to Egypt. So that's where the confusion came. Why is this man speaking about the marvelous good news of Jesus Christ who died and rose again in my language?
In my home language.
See, that's the catchy. See, that's what God was using to catch those who were not believers, so that the unbelievers will be surprised to say, which means if this man can have the gift to speak in my language, which means this God cares for me to hear this message so much so that he's using a language that I understand. You see that?
Yep.
So that gift now was used as, number one, as a way of showing that it's only God. It can only be God who can make me hear this thing, or who can make this man speak in my native language. Do you know that if someone comes to speak to you or to propose something to you, but they are of a different language, but they speak in your language, they will capture your attention. Do you know that in the olden times, during the time of Shaka Zulu, one of the reasons why treaties were signed in history, why the kings signed treaties, is because the white missionaries and the white imperialists, they found a way, but John Moffat, they found a way of speaking the native language with the kings, with the native kings. And that drew attention such that Shaka will then have a friend in this white man who speaks his own language.
Okay.
You see that?
So okay.
The same principle is being applied here. God gives them a gift. But can we go to 1 Corinthians now?
Certainly, Mfundisi. So, in fact, that's where the listeners are saying, okay, Mfundisi, this is really, this language of earth is fine. How about this one of heaven? What is it? They want to know the heaven stuff.
In chapter 14, in 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 1, the Bible says, follow after love. It's a continuation from 13.
Yes, sir.
Follow after love, which is true, and desire spiritual gifts, but rather that you may prophesy. Now, the word prophesy there is the Greek word keruso, which means to declare something publicly or to preach. It's not prophesying where you speak something that someone doesn't know, that your name is so-and-so, you stay in... No, that's not the prophecy here.
Okay.
The word prophesy is the same or synonymous with the
Pastor,
word preaching.
No, No. I have questions that I was not having. Let's come to
let
tongues.
Them come.
No, Pastor, we want to talk tongues today. We don't want to talk prophecy. Let's come to tongues. Come to verse 2.
Fine.
Yeah.
Verse 2. For he... See, because the word... Verse 2 says 4. You understand? So it must not just be read. See, that's the mistake that people make. They want to read one verse and want to hear that one. They don't want to hear any other. but it has a basis where it's coming from.
Okay.
Verse
okay.
2. Mm-hmm. For he that speaks in an unknown tongue. You see here,
yes,
the Bible is saying you must desire to prophesy
to
more.
Preach.
You mm-hmm. must desire to preach more. That's what is most important. And then he says, for he that speaks in an unknown tongue. Now, remember, the context is the church in Corinth.
Yes.
And then Paul is saying to the church in Corinth, because there was a crisis in Corinth.
Corinth was a problem. It was a problem, yeah.
Mm-hmm. So he that speaks in an unknown tongue speaks not unto man, but unto God, right? For no man understands him, but in the spirit he speaks mysteries.
Yeah.
What was happening here? Now, you don't read verse 2 alone
okay.
and be confused by verse 2.
Okay.
You must read verse 2 and read it together with verse 10
okay.
of 1 Corinthians chapter 14.
Mm-hmm.
When he says, for he that speaks in an unknown tongue speaks not unto men, but unto God, which means the tongue that he's speaking at that particular time, he is speaking it and no man understands it in the Corinthian church.
Not that he's speaking to God.
Is given. Sorry?
Not that he's speaking to God, Mfundis, like the verse says. He's speaking to God.
No, let me explain. Don't rush. Let me explain. I know time is moving. Let me explain.
Okay.
For he that speaks in an unknown tongue speaks not unto man, but unto God. See, what is happening here? In the Corinthian church, God had given them gifts, especially the gift of speaking in tongues.
Okay.
And they were able to speak different languages from different countries. But after ministering to those people of different languages and different countries, the same Corinthians came back to church and they continued to speak that language of different countries in the church.
I told you Corinth was a problem. Yeah. Yeah.
So in verse 10, Paul says, there are, it may be, so many kinds of voices or languages in the world, and none of them is without meaning.
Mm-hmm.
You see that?
Mm-hmm.
So the Corinthians now, what they were doing is that if God had given me the gift of tongues, I was then able to say, for example, if I was speaking Zulu or born in KZN, and then God gives me the gift of speaking in tongues, and I'm now able to speak Portuguese.
Mm-hmm.
Right? The Corinthian in me was going back to the church and I was now speaking in Portuguese in the church. For example, if they asked, we'll ask Pastor Maforo to pray. I will stand up in the church, in the Corinthian church, and then I will start praying in Portuguese. That's what was happening in the Corinthian church. If someone comes in,
surely you must use this education. You didn't go all the way to Mozambique for nothing.
This is what Paul was now emphasizing, that there must be edification of the church. Let's read verse 20. Let's read verse 20 to explain verse 2. Now, remember why it says, for he that speaks in an unknown tongue speaks only to God.
Mm-hmm.
Because God understands all languages.
Okay. Okay. Verse 20.
So in verse 20,
we have two animals.
I need this verse to be read. It's very important. Listen, in verse 18, Paul says, I thank God. Let's start from verse 16,
Okay.
He says, else when you shall bless with the Spirit, because remember the gift is given by the Spirit of God.
Yes.
So he refers that tongue as a gift from the Spirit, right?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
The fact that I'm now able to speak in Portuguese, he refers it as the gift of the Spirit, right?
Yeah.
He says, how shall he that occupies the place of the unlearned, someone in church, how will that person next to me, how shall he say amen at your giving of thanks, seeing he understands not what you say?
Eish.
Are you following?
Yeah.
So if I am going to preach, I can't preach in Portuguese because it's a gift that God has given me. I must preach in a language that you understand.
Yeah.
So if we are all if we are all Shonas, or if we are all Zulus, or if we are all Xhosas or Afrikaners, if we are all Tswanas, if I'm here and all of us are Tswanas, let's speak Tswana so that everyone understands what we are saying. So the purpose of speaking in tongues was so that people can understand, not confuse. In our world today, tongues are used as a language that no one can understand.
And that's the goal,
it's actually.
Actually
the opposite. You see that? Now, question, should we all pray in tongues? Listen, in verse 17, for you verily give thanks well, but the other is not edified. Then Paul says in verse 18, I thank my God I speak with tongues more than you all. What does he mean when he says I speak in tongues? It's because you could count the languages that he could speak.
Yeah, yeah.
Paul was more exposed than all of them. He could not only speak the Roman language, but he could speak the Philippian language. He could speak the Corinthian language. He could speak the... Why? Because Paul, God had sent him to all these countries.
Yeah.
He was... But how, when someone says la, 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 how do you count it as a language?
How can you say amen?
And how can you say, I thank God I speak in tongues more than all of you, if all I am speaking is I'm speaking in a tongue, in quotes, according to our expression?
Yeah. Yeah.
Verse 18, he says, I thank my God I speak with tongues more than you all. Yet in the church, I'd rather speak five words with my understanding, that by my voice I might teach others also, than 10,000 words in an unknown language.
Ah, pastor.
Are you following? Then verse 20, the Bible says, brethren, be not children in understanding, but in malice be children, but in understanding be men. 21, in the law it is written, men of other tongues and other lips.
Yep. Sorry, Mfundisi, come back. That verse 20, when I saw it, I was just like, wait a minute. And I know the pastor started with a beautiful disclaimer, this segment here, Bazalwane, let us be with open hearts. Let's hear what Jehovah is trying to teach us and learn. And Mfundisi Pinda, verse 20, because he is saying something deep, and I think it's for our church, the Laodicean church. Please repeat verse 20.
Verse 19, he says, yet in the church, I had rather speak five words with my understanding, that by my voice I might teach others also, than 10,000 words in an unknown tongue. Listen, there he is not talking about prayer.
Yeah.
He is talking about teaching, because tongues are for preaching, not for prayer. And listen, the emphasis there is understanding. So this is not a heavenly language that is only meant for God. It's a language, it's a gift that someone has. In verse 20, where I was going is going to make it even sweeter. Listen to this. Verse 22. It says, therefore tongues are for a sign, not to them that believe. Derek, you're not there. Tongues are for a sign. Listen to me, our dear beloved listeners, please. Therefore, tongues are for a sign. So tongues are a sign. According to the Bible, it doesn't matter what you think. The Bible says tongues are a sign. Not to them that believe. Friends, I don't know why we don't read this. It's there in black and white. Tongues are a sign not to believers, but to them that believe not. Which means when you speak in tongues, you do not speak them to those who believe. You speak tongues to those who are unbelievers, because believers now already, they don't need the gift. They already believe. They can preach to each other in a language that they understand. But if God sends you to Malaysia and you get there and there's no one who can speak the language that you speak, God ought to give you a gift to be able to speak in the language of those people so that they can hear what you are saying. They can hear the good news of Jesus Christ. He says in 22, therefore tongues are for a sign, not to them that believe, but to them that believe not. Why? But prophesying, which is preaching, serves not for them that believe, but for them that are believers. Not them that believe not, but for them that are believers. Let me read again. Therefore, verse 22, 1 Corinthians 14, 22. Therefore, tongues are for a sign, not to them that believe, but to them that believe not.
Yeah.
But prophesying or preaching serves not for them that believe not, but for them that believe.
Now, verse 23, the key verse, if therefore the whole church be come together into one place and all speak with tongues, and there come in those that are unlearned or unbelievers, will they not say that you are mad? I don't know if you've read that verse before. The Bible is saying if the whole church comes together, yeah, you are not supposed to speak in other tongues.
Yeah, otherwise people who are coming in are like, what's going on here?
People get confused when everyone starts speaking in tongues. People will say, are you guys crazy? Are you mad? What's happening here? Because God is not the author of confusion, but our God is an orderly God. Then what should we do? Listen to what it says. So if the whole church, see, this is why I'm a Seventh-day Adventist.
Okay,
if the whole church comes together, let me give you the reason why I'm a Seventh-day Adventist.
Okay,
when the whole church comes together, the Bible says, verse 27, it says, therefore, if any man speaks in an unknown tongue, let it be by two or at the most by three. And that in turn, let one interpret. So your tongue is not for prayer. It is for the interpretation, for the edification of the church. Verse 28. But if there is no interpreter, let him keep silence in the church. So you can't speak in a tongue that cannot be interpreted. Ah.
Ish.
So you see, this has got nothing to do with prayer.
And in actual fact, it's Mfundisi, as you are there, it speaks directly to the heart of what happens in Christendom today, where people actually use tongues as a signifier of the presence of the Spirit. And if you come into their presence and you don't speak a different tongue, you are not a Christian. But here you're saying, the Bible is saying, in actual fact, not you, that tongues are simple for non-believers. Those who believe don't need tongues. You can't ask me for a tongue when I believe. That's not a symbol for you.
Believers are already beyond tongues.
Ah, Pastor.
The gift of tongues is the least of all the gifts. Oh. It's for unbelievers so that they can believe that God has sent you to talk to them, not to pray. And I emphasize again, it then says, if any man speaks in an unknown tongue, let it be by two or by most three, and that in turn, let one interpret. That's why I'm an Adventist, because in our church, if there is a speaker from America preaching to us in Cholocho, there must be an interpreter.
Yeah.
If he's speaking to us down in Serue, in Botswana, there must be an interpreter. If he's with us there in Maseru, there must be an interpreter. And God says, if there is no interpreter, that preacher must keep quiet.
He must sit down
and speak to himself and to God. Why? Because God understands all languages. There is your verse 2.
So our problem, Mfundisi, is we want to run to verse 2 and say, look, heavenly languages. Can't you? No. It's about
the whole chapter. You must read
the whole chapter.
Don't just sit there. It says, and let him speak to himself and to God. Why? Because he understands what he's saying, number one, because God gave him the gift. Number two, then God understands all languages. So two of you understand. So you speak to yourself and to God, but you must keep quiet because the rest of us don't understand what you are saying. So in other words, rule number one of church worship, never say something that someone does not understand. So if I'm in the church and I start going like shikalabalabalaba, we must pray God that there is someone who understands what I'm saying. If that person does not understand, I'm supposed, according to the Bible, I'm supposed to keep quiet and not say shikalabalaba because no one understands what I just said.
Mfundisi, let's take it home when there is no one who understands and you use pompous big words just because you think you went to A school. Sit down, Mzalana. We are not hearing what you're saying here down.
It's the same thing when I'm my leader. The Bible says, listen, I want you to listen to me in this example. The Bible says, how beautiful are the feet of those that carry the good news. In the original, it will say, I want you to follow me here. In the original, it will say, Baruch Haba Bashe Adonai. That is in the Hebrew. But I can't stand in the church and say, Baruch Haba Bashe Adonai, because no one understands what I just said. But now I must then interpret like I did right now. In the original, it says, Baruch Haba Bashe Adonai. Blessed is the one who comes in the name of the Lord. If I say, blessed that is the one who comes in the name of the Lord, it carries more meaning because people understand than for me to just say, friends, Baruch Haba, Bashe Adonai, because people don't understand what I'm saying. It must be an interpreter. Yeah. Now, in our third installment of this, I think on our after this Friday, the next Friday, when we meet, we want to look at the origins of the modern day speaking in tongues, how it got into the church from the Azusa Street Conference revival of 1901 all the way to Charles Parham to 1914 and how it got to the Aladura of today. So I want us to park it right there.
Yes.
So that next week when we come, we can recap from here. Then we look at then what is happening in the modern day church. Why do then people speak in these tongues? What is going on? Because now you then have the modern day speaking in tongues giving birth to a lot of things like laughing in the spirit, you know, and all these things in the spirit. But it does not have a biblical basis. But well, friends, please catch us again next week on the fortnightly, that is, not next Friday, but the following Friday, then we can go deeper. We recap from this, we finish 1 Corinthians 14, and then we can go deeper to the modern day revivals. May God bless you. Oof. And I don't know if there's any burning question, but on my side, I think I am done.
I'm finished. Nobody shut it down. But that's what's coming in from the listeners. Yeah, Liz, all the way from Europe. To Alana, where did the modern day come from? Mela, your listeners and foodies, they don't want that lesson. But really, they are enough here.
Okay, no, that's all right.
But no, thank you so much, Mfundisi. I had a question that was coming up. It was burning from one of our listeners. Asking about because when they read Corinthians 14, it came across as though there's this unique like esoteric, you know, realization of a nearness with God, that a specific few are then speaking this heavenly language, this gift of tongues, which is evidence of a heightened spiritual encounter with Jehovah. But if you are saying what you're saying here, Pastor, you're saying even if you are as high as whatever, you will still be speaking things that people understand, and God will still be utilizing you in a language that you understand. Because I love verse chapter 14 says you must speak with the mouth, but also with the understanding, that you can worship Jehovah fully with the understanding. And that's what you just explained to us, Pastor. We thank you.
Mm-hmm.
We thank you.
Thank you so much. God bless you, and amen and amen.
Amen. Mfundisi Swami, as we wrap it up, then, as we started with prayer, let's also pray that God can do what we did not do. We spoke to the ears, but the conviction of the heart comes from Him. May we pray for the listeners, Pastor.
Thank you, Lord, for this lesson. Bless us and bless every listener. And those who will go back to this podcast, may they go back with understanding. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen and amen. Thanks, Pastor Maforo. God bless you and have a happy, happy Sabbath.
Amen.
Adventist World Radio SID Media. We are not general practitioners. We are specialists in Bible-based content.